With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, 15 minutes are on the timer, and the subject is crying.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but as I've got older, I've found that I'm much more in touch with my emotions, and I'm very prone to crying now as a 36-year-old man.
What do you mean? When you say very prone, like how often are you crying? Like every day?
Every week, definitely. Undoubtedly every week.
But what sets you off?
Britain's Got Talent.
I can't say that hasn't happened. I cried at the news yesterday.
Oh, tell me about it, mate. At the moment,
did you
as
watch?
Well,
sorry, go on.
With everything that's going on, it's hard not to cry.
Did you watch the? There was a segment on the two people that got better from the coronavirus
no,
on Channel 4.
No.
Oh, mate, I was in floods on the sofa, and it was embarrassing because my kids were next to me, and they kept looking at me. Are you crying? And I'm like, yeah, this is really fucking sad. Yeah, but yeah, and I'm. I would say I am quite an emotional person, and I'm happy to let the tears go. And that's happened as I've got older.
Yeah. So when I was younger, crying was very much seen as babyish, and it was frowned upon, and it was something as a boy you shouldn't cry. You don't cry. The only time you cry as a young man or a boy is maybe at a funeral, but other than that, crying is out of the question, basically. Was it the same for you?
Oh, yeah. You cried in my school. You were gay. That was it.
Yeah.
You're a gay boy. That's what it was. And while there were many homosexual kids in that school, no one would ever admit it. And crying was a symptom. Whether it's not, obviously. Everybody, crying is a really important a release of emotion. And actually makes you feel better when you do.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, so it has a useful function. But yeah, growing up, it wasn't something that we could do. My dad wasn't a crier. I've seen my dad upset twice when his dad died. And when I say upset, I didn't see any tears. I just saw his head bowed and his hands to his eyes. And then recently when his mum died, my nan died, I heard a quiver of emotion in his voice. But other than that, zero tears.
So I was the same with my dad until probably until he hit 60, and then he cries more regularly now. But there was a point where the only time I'd seen my dad cry, including at his mother's death and her funeral, the only time I'd seen him cry was when our dog died.
Fucking hell.
So the dog got him. His mum, he was fine. He was all right with that, but the dog got him. To be fair, Barkley was a good boy, so yeah.
Deserves a few tears.
A few tears.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to happen when Frank goes. Luckily, he's only two, so I don't have to think about it too often. But yeah, I think obviously the issue with crying and men, and in recent years, there's been such a move towards it being okay that men are vulnerable and they feel emotional, that I think people feel more comfortable with being with getting upset and being emotional, and that's a really important thing, because us in our generation growing up and especially our fathers before us, is that isn't what men do. And they become repressed emotionally. It comes to a point with my dad where he gets angry, but he doesn't get upset.
It's got to come out in other ways.
Yeah, and often it is anger and frustration, and I've seen my dad be frustrated for a long, long time and be angry and get really angry at the news and the way the world is, and because his outlet is that frustration and aggression towards what's out there. He was never an aggressive man or anything, but he had a temper, and it would blow up sometimes, not to the point of it being damaging to the family household. He was just like anybody, got angry, but he never got emotional, or in its own way it was It was emotional, I guess.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, yeah.
He's just letting off steam in a way.
Yeah, so that, yeah, I mean, look, we feel they're okay to cry. I cry a lot, actually, come to think of it.
I would say with me, I don't know if it's the same with you, the majority of the times I cry are when I'm by myself or with like a close friend or my other half. I don't recall crying in public too often. How about you?
Is that true?
I mean, I have cried in public within the last year, and I also have that ridiculous story. Do I need to tell that story?
Yeah, because some people might not have heard it.
So I'll give the quick version. I went out for drinks with work colleagues, and I'd had a bad time. I'd had a few bits of bad family news about health that had kind of crept. Both two or three things had happened in quick succession. So I was a bit emotional generally, but I hadn't realised how emotional. Anyway, we're out for drinks. We had a few pints, and my boss, who I was really good friends with, pulled me to one side and said, "I need to tell you something. I'm going to be leaving." And we did get on well, there's no doubt about it, but I was just happy for him that he's leaving. But the way my body reacted to that was to sob uncontrollably to the point where I couldn't get words out. And he was like, "Chris, it's okay, it's fine. We're still going to be mates. We're still going to be mates. It's okay." And obviously it wasn't that. It wasn't that bit of news that had made me cry. It just tipped me over the edge emotionally. It was the shock of hearing this news. Everything else had backed up.
So I'd love the idea that you couldn't get the words out to explain that it wasn't just this and that you'd had a really tough time recently, but you were just sobbing. So he just thought, Jesus, he must
really, I mean, we like still me. See each other fairly regularly, and we've never spoken about that incident.
Mate, bring it up.
I should do, shouldn't I?
We should get him on here and you talk about it.
The other time recently, so I did a eulogy at my grandpa's funeral, and I did go slightly in the middle of it. It's really, really hard. I mean, it was a great thing to do, and I felt really proud and privileged to be able to do it. And I felt, in all the time leading up to it, I felt in control of my emotions. And then the 2 or 3 minutes beforehand, my uncle was doing a eulogy as well, and there were a couple of things he said that got me. And so by the time I was up, standing in front of this huge crowd, I felt quite weak emotionally. And I'd written a poem, and I started reading the poem, and I had to take a brief pause. But it wasn't during it was after. So we got outside the place after, and my mum came up to me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "I'm so proud of what you've just done." And that absolutely set me off. The last thing I needed to hear at that point was anything like that.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I utterly lost it.
Totally lost it. Yeah, but that's good. That's good, because you released it and you needed to do it, and you held it together through that period. And you remember your mum saying that to you. So it's good. And it's okay to lose it. And you, at some point, you would have done during that day. So it had to be that point where the emotions are at the complete tipping point. But I often, I'm not sure if other people do this, but I often think about that situation, because I've never had to do it, but inevitably as you get older, you will have to. Mm. And my nan passed away about two weeks ago. And we can't have a funeral.
Oh, man, that's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, but a long time ago when she was sick, I wrote what I wanted to say.
Oh, wow.
I've written it down, yeah. And I think we're going to have a wake later on, but we're not allowed to actually have a funeral. And there's only so much time you can keep the body in the mortuary, because loads of people are fucking dying. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think she's going to be cremated on her own, which is pretty sad. But or just with my dad. I don't know what's going to happen, really. And we're going to have a wake later, so I'll get an opportunity to say it. But I don't know if I'll be able to get through it. I really don't. And I sometimes, when I'm watching stuff on telly, and often like a love between two people gets to me, like really gets to me emotionally, and especially if someone's sick or dying. Like if you watched 24 Hours in A&E.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Mate, I can't watch it anymore.
It's an absolute roller coaster.
Mate, it's too much. It's too much. It's I don't know. I can't watch it anymore. And especially the ones with the grannies and the granddads who lose the other partner, and you kind of can't help but project yourself in that situation on what you do.
So the one that gets
that always
me,
gets me, the, always gets
the
me.
The other thing that gets me every time is the film Up, and it's very similar. It's
The
opening scene of that film is it's so beautifully done, and it's incredibly well designed to just make you feel so many emotions in the space of what is it 5-10 minutes, that sequence.
It's masterful.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But it just makes me blub. And the character actually does look a little bit like my grandpa as well, which just adds to it.
Well, and so for those that don't know, he's lost his partner, his wife, right? She dies.
Yeah, but it's the lead up, isn't it? It's showing them what they've how they've lived their lives together and the happy moments they've had.
Yes, and you can't help but because everybody, if you're lucky enough to have a wholesome family unit and you got to see your grandparents alive together, as I did for one set of grandparents, then you can understand what they went through and understand what my nan went through when she lost her husband 20 years ago and she only just now died. So it must be crushing to spend an entire life together, as I hopefully will with my fiance and you will with your partner, but inevitably you have to face the fact that one of you are going to have to live alone, a part of your life alone, and this is really depressing, but it's a crushingly obvious thing. And do you know what? It's about how philosophical you are about it, isn't it? Because you had that experience.
Absolutely, that's the glass half full way of looking at it, isn't it?
You had it to lose. Imagine not having it at all.
It's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all, as they say.
Exactly.
So have you ever cried at work, Flav?
At work?
Yeah.
I've cried in pain. I've cried in pain. I can't remember emotionally crying. I remember I've had back, in my early 20s, I had back problems, neck problems. And one day I woke up with a really stiff neck and I managed to get myself into work and it came to a point where I couldn't move without it feeling like I was being electrocuted up my back. And the tears just fell out of my face. It wasn't emotional, it was just the pain was so intense that tears was just rolling down my face. I can't remember crying at work, no.
How did your colleagues react to that? Were they sympathetic?
I think they realised that I'd really badly hurt my neck and... I needed to go. That I needed to go, really. They were fine with it. They took me to the osteopath next door, and then I went home and spent a week on the sofa. My girlfriend at the time found it hilarious that I couldn't move. But not emotionally. I never cried at school, never cried at work. But sitting on the sofa is where it gets to me. Like anything, like Britain's Got Talent, that does it to me. X Factor, you know, there's always one in. There's always one in. What's it called? The Voice. There's always one there that they
get. A sob story.
Well, it's the emotion. The thing that always gets me is the emotional connection between two people. That's what always sets me off. And when you see on the sidelines, if people don't know The Voice, it's turning chairs. And if they like you, they turn. But the family, the artist is in the middle of the stage, but the family inevitably is on the right hand side of the stage, looking at them, and you can see the desire in their eyes for their daughter, son, wife, husband to do well and just willing these chairs to turn. It's a beautiful, I mean, it's really well designed show because it just taps into all of these things that they know people fiend off, and that's just watching people be disappointed or probably more likely excited. And it's the stuff like that gets me. Films get me all the time as well. I cry much, much more than my girlfriend does.
What about music? Do you have particular songs that can trigger you?
Yeah, there's a song called You by Keaton Henson, which is an absolutely beautiful song, again, about a love for a love and loss in a relationship. Listen to it. It's an incredibly beautiful song. Keaton Henson, yeah, You. What about you?
Yeah, music can definitely get me if I'm in the right mind place, I suppose, for that kind of feeling, then music can definitely trigger me. I mean, I joked about Britain's Got Talent, but it's true, and you're right with about it being about the relationship. So there was an act in this latest series, there was an act which is a dad who was like a comedian, but a singing comedian. So he wrote funny songs, which were sweet and heartwarming, but amusing. And he had his two boys in the audience, and the songs spoke about the two boys in really sweet terms and loving terms. And so that was emotional in itself. But then the camera, and this is where the directors are so smart, they pan to the youngest boy just not being able to hold his emotion anymore. He's so proud of watching his dad up there. I'm genuinely tearing up.
I've got goosebumps.
He's watching his dad perform, and he just loses it, and his lip goes, and he's just so, so proud of seeing his old man up there on the stage. And it was lovely. It was just such a genuinely lovely moment.
Send me a link to that, because I want to see it and have a cry. But sometimes when I'm bad come down, I need to be emotional, get the emotions out, I'll watch Soldiers Coming Home on YouTube. Soldiers Coming Home compilations. Because
our 15 minutes are up.